possible discussion on quarterly portfolio report by BlackRock Merrill Lynch. John?
Again, I'll introduce, it's here again, Jeff Hewlett and Jeff Biggers, and they'll give the report for the quarter of the performance by BlackRock.
Good morning. We can go a couple of slides to the first asset allocation page. One more, actually two more. Again, two snapshots, the one on the left showing you going back one quarter at the end of August, 59% equity, 38% fixed income, 3% cash. We go to the end of the November quarter, basically 60% equity, 36% fixed income, 4% cash. And the total account value plus accrued income, $22,125,934. And all of this data is as of the end of November. On the next page, we look at advance the slide. Stuck?
It's stuck.
All right. Well, you have those handouts in front of you, too?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
On the computer.
Ah, there we go. Showing you the top 10 holdings on the left, IBM being the largest position in there, Chevron, J&J, Microsoft. We've actually increased our position in Microsoft since this time. Goldman, Pfizer, Medco, Travelers, Western Digital, and Hewlett-Packard. Sector breakdowns on the right. It's actually on the next slide, though. It's easier to look at that versus the S&P 500 as the benchmark. We remain overweight energy. We've just changed some of the holdings in there. We've taken out our refiners and added E&P names, Pride, Neighbors. Still remain underweight in basic materials, overweight industrials. Remain both underweight in consumer discretionary and consumer staples, considering that consumer still faces considerable headwind with this economy. Our largest overweight in the portfolio is healthcare, very out of consensus last year. I think looking that Congress might not be as able to pass through unfriendly to at least the equity positions. The healthcare actually sector is poised to do much better this year than did last. Financials remain underweight there. It was an underweight all through last year. We continue to think the balance sheets are in pretty poor shape for most of the major banks out there. We want to remain underweight that sector. Information technology overweight, and then about a market weight in telecom and in utilities. On the next page, we have the fixed income breakdown. Okay, we have treasuries just under 40%. Agencies at about 13%. Mortgages, we've taken that position down just over 13%. And then corporate bonds is an overweight at close to 33%. Our average credit quality remains very high at AA, duration just over 5 years, average maturity just over 6.5, and it leaves us with an average yield of maturity of 2.82 and an average current yield of roughly 4.6. And on the next page, we go into performance. And again, looking at the long chart at the bottom, top line in gray, that's the total portfolio combining the equity and the fixed income. Trailing 3 months, up 5.06, with equities up almost 5, bonds up 2.84, again, versus the S&P 500, underperformed, overperformed, or outperformed the Barclays GovCorp model. Year-to-date basis, again, this is only through November 30, account was up 12.3. On a trailing 12-month basis, combined account up 18.01. Previous year, 2008, we'd already covered that in previous meetings, so that was a 17.28. Then you have a trailing 2-year, 3-year, 5-year number, 5-year number annualizing 4.74 per year, with equities at 2.62, bonds at just over 6.42. And all of that versus the blended benchmark at 2.86.
Why do we continue to underperform the S&P 500 as a benchmark?
Well, we haven't on 2, 3, and 5. Over the last, well, year to date, certainly calendar year 2009, there was a period where it was a very low quality rally inside. You see, what worked in 2009 was what really didn't work in 2008. We outperformed in 08, having a higher quality basis to the portfolio. That was a factor that affected performance in 2009. Our model is heavy on a quantitative basis. We have about 50% of our, what we call alpha, our manager-derived return, is attributable to our quantitative model. About half of it is fundamental analysis. Going on a trailing 10-year basis, our quantitative model, which has about 56 factors in it, has outperformed like our ones and twos, which are our higher quality, you know, stocks that we want to be investing in, versus our fours and fives, our lower quintile stocks. Over that 10-year period, usually about 40 or 50 basis points per month, there's a difference in return on these ones and twos versus the fours and fives, okay, on all these rolling periods of, throughout the last 10. If you just look at 2009, the fours and fives, which are the lower quality of the stocks that we won't own inside of our process, they were outperforming by 250 to 300 basis points per month. So, you know, we would look at it from a quant side, so that was like a three standard deviation event that happened in 2009. Historically, when we've had a period where our quantitative model, you know, they're really good when the market is in trends, when it's at an inflection point, either bear to bull or bull to bear market, sometimes they lag. It's common across a lot of quantitative managers, but historically, the next 12 months after that, you have a pretty good period where those models catch up, because they do have pretty good predictive value during most markets, but there are periods where they do fail to outperform. Any other questions? Yes?
This is not a financial question, but a political question. Is Bernanke's fate, are y'all factoring that in?
We think that he will be appointed and go through the process. We'll find out this week, but I think that should go through.
I guess the question is more about the process. Are y'all worried about the political process presently?
Even more so than that? I mean, just on a bigger picture?
Yeah.
I think what happened in Massachusetts earlier this month was somewhat of a positive to the whole system, in that I think it's very, you know, if some sort of health care reform does go through, it's going to be much more watered down. It's going to be a lot more difficult to get things through. So that does ease a little bit of uncertainty. And, you know, the equity market does not like uncertainty. So from that standpoint, I think that, you know, they're not going to be able to really cram down an unpopular bill, not just there, but on other things like financial company reform. So those things probably become more difficult and it's probably net, it's a positive. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. No more questions? Okay, we'll move to